have a question, Donna. How much money will you send me to not post that picture on the Designer Cornbread podcast?
Oh, Joni, I think you're on to something. Like, she needs to sponsor us or else we're going to post.
I was going to say she could be our sponsor.
Yeah, how we're going to do it from now on. We're going to blackmail sponsor. We're going to get sponsors through blackmail.
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
Right.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Welcome, everyone, to Designer Cornbread, episode 51. Holly and I actually had a bit of a conversation last night. Quite a entertaining conversation.
We did. We did. I got to meet on, you know, via FaceTime or whatnot, Joni's wonderful sister-in-law, Donna. For the first time, I got to talk with her.
Donna was quite animated. So here's the deal.
Don't
Donna,
tell on
I'm,
her.
I'm so, oh, I am ratting her out.
Oh, my gosh.
It was hilarious. She'd been out on the boat. Now, you don't necessarily need to drink on the boat. Well, and Donna might
Pause. What?
Okay.
I don't understand.
The heat from the sun.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mix real well.
Right. Okay. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to overdo it.
Okay. And let's just say Donna was quite animated last night. And Holly evidently is like a Hollywood star.
Donna is the nicest. Donna, I know you're listening. I hope you're caught up because you were not caught up and we gave you the assignment. But I don't know if you remember. I don't know. So
she was very complimentary toward Holly.
You were. She was. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it was very good to talk with her and to talk with Ron's dad a little bit, too. It was like a whole little, Ron just messaged me. I don't even know how it got started. Oh, I got a picture from y'all. Y'all sent a very...
Matter of fact, I need to post that picture, possibly.
Of Blessed Donna, they sent this picture and just explained the situation.
Donna.
Yeah.
I have a question, Donna. How much money will you send me to not post that picture on the Designer Cornbread podcast?
Oh, Joni, I think you're on to something. Like, she needs to sponsor us or else we're going to post.
I was going to say she could be our sponsor.
Yeah, that's how we're going to do it from now on. We're going to blackmail sponsor. We're going to get sponsors through blackmail.
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
Right.
Okay.
I'm liking it.
I like it too. I like it a lot because we got a lot on Ron too. So I just saying.
Well, he is sponsoring us. He is.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
while we're on the subject, we are sponsored by Optimus Media, taking good care of us.
Very good care. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. So if you need any web work, whether it's domain names or website design or life coaching or whatever you need,
That too. That too. So really, truly, and such good service, because when something goes wrong, he gets on it and it gets fixed. So, and for those of us that are not technically,
Let me just be honest with you. If anything happens to Ron, I am dead in the water.
I'm going to have to come get you in the car. I'm going to have to come pick you up.
My calendar, y'all, is still on paper.
Well,
and
then
that's
you'll be
how
okay.
I want it. I know. I'll be fine on paper.
Yeah.
But everything else is whatever he's hooked up.
I know.
You know, whatever stream, my TV, I'm out. I'm
you
going
are.
To be gone.
Yeah, you got nothing. So, you got no way got to reach the outside world. Mm-mm. You've got no music. You've got nothing. So that'll
Which
be fun.
Actually might work pretty well for me.
I was going to say, get you some real books and,
OptimusMedia.com, y'all.
That's
all
right.
Holly, tell me. I got a lot to talk about.
You do. So, the kids were, Avery and Thatcher went in town this week, which was just great. It was really good. They hadn't seen each other for, since Florida. And we had gone up to see Thatcher, but it was just good. And Hudson, you know, just having the kids together. There's just nothing better. They worked, you know, they all had things to do and they can work virtually. So they did some of that. And I cooked a bunch. So I still remember how to cook. That's good. I made the peach chicken. It was a big hit. It was a big hit. Everyone loved it.
So the peach that we posted a week or two ago.
You guys, I can honestly say, I mean, not that I doubted. I didn't doubt for a minute because Joni does not steer you wrong. But it was a big hit. Everybody really liked it. And I ended up, I think the first night when I cooked it, I served it with some roasted, little golden chopped cut up roasted potatoes. I wanted to do it with rice. Cause to me, I feel like, but we were had the rice the night before. So I didn't want to do, and we were having rice the next night with something. But then when we had it for leftover, I used the leftover rice I had and then roasted some broccoli. Man, you put that in a bowl. You put that rice down, you put that peach chicken with that sauce and some mm-hmm. roasted broccoli. It was delicious.
It's delicious.
It was delicious. So I suggest y'all go to the website. If you missed that recipe, all the recipes are up there. And it was really good. I did end up making it with chicken thigh, boneless, skinless chicken thighs, but you know, the breast, I mean, whatever, just whatever you want to do. So
either way,
yeah, bonus point for you. So that's it. That's all I have. I have nothing. Go. Oh, I do have one thing. Okay, hang on. I got one thing.
Either way.
Got one thing.
Okay.
The only other thing I did this weekend was, this is nothing big, but okay. I just thought I'd put it out there over the next few weeks because I have gotten the fall, like the autumn fall bug has now hit me. Oh, wait, my internet connection's unstable. I hope it's okay. You know, it's still, actually, it's gotten a little nicer weather the last couple of days. We had a rainy day on Saturday, and that just did it. I mean, we stayed home, they played games, and so I'm in full fall. All that is to say that, like, I'm going through stuff and drawers and dealing with stuff, and I've kind of had some fun doing different little things, kind of fashion-y related, I guess. This year, I thought I would try and do more like, I don't know how to explain it, but I took my earrings. What I did is I kind of edited down and I went, what do I want to wear earring wise? What feels like fall to me? Like what? And I just got those out and put them on these little out where I can see them. I have a lot of earrings. Some people, you know, maybe wear more of the same thing and that's fine. But if you want to, it might be fun to kind of pick out, like edit a little collection. You know what I mean? And I got all these holes, you know, I got to fill all these holes. And I had fun doing that. So I kind of have my fall earring look ready to go.
I have a pair of pearl earrings, a pair of diamond studs, a pair of sapphire, and a pair of Mississippi State earrings.
I know. That I told you, if you don't, it's not everybody's, but I know there's some girls out there that are here and are catching what I'm throwing. And that's what I'm saying. It was fun to think about like going in your own. I'm not gonna lie, I bought a couple extra. I got some real good bargains at like Kohl's and stuff. So I didn't go crazy, but just kind of I had some looks in my mind and I've gotten them out and I'll post a picture on social media. Whatever. You just put them on a little pretty tray or tiered, and then that way they're out where you see them. And that's kind of what you're choosing from for this season. Now you can obviously do whatever you want. And I also did that with my nail polish. So I picked like my fall colors and they're out on a little thing. And then that's just what I'm doing. And I had real fun doing that, Joni.
Look at you. Good.
I did. Because it just made me feel like, oh, you know how you see all the colors of the season or this is the look. And yeah. I kind of just did that with my own. Not that you can't do something else. You can do what you want. But it was fun.
It's what my pedicure lady does.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, she puts all her, for the seasonal.
And I love that. I'm all about the seasons. We've talked about this. And I'll continue to say some other things that I'm. Yeah. Working on over the next couple of weeks as we're getting ready for fall. But that's what I did, guys. So go get your earrings. Go get you a little tray or a little stand, you know, that little dollar section at Target or Walmart or wherever, or a little dish you have. And just have fun putting your little earrings out and your little nail polishes. Mm-hmm. Okay, go. I have nothing else to say.
Well, let me just tell you. So last week we talked about that I was going to go see James Taylor.
Mm-hmm, we did. JT. And that's not Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, not Justin Timberlake. No, it is James Taylor. So, y'all, it was a perfect night. I'm going to tell you, it was a perfect night. I love James Taylor. Ron is not a big James Taylor fan. I mean, he likes him, But I am a James Taylor, like
from back in the day.
I got a message on Spotify. I am James Taylor's number one listener on Spotify.
Get out of this town right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the whole world.
I am
on
the whole world on the Spotify.
Joni.
Yeah. So when I tell you that I love James Taylor, I love James Taylor.
It's true.
So, but here's the thing. I'm probably the younger age of that thing. And a lot of the older people who listen to him probably don't have Spotify.
Oh, that could be.
You know.
So you're saying that the competition's not real fierce.
It's probably not real fierce.
Okay.
But anyway.
You're a winner. You're a winner.
I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. I'm a winner and do what I want. I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Ron gets me tickets to James Taylor in Huntsville, the fourth row for our anniversary.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, we go down to Huntsville first and we stop at this little Italian place, which is fantastic in Huntsville. And I've already forgotten the name of it, but I'll link to it. I'll find it and I will link to it. And we're sitting there and we're talking and stuff. And I look up, you know, something catches out of the corner of my eye and I look up. There's this like tall man kind of walking toward our table. Well, lo and behold, I mean, burn my biscuits. It was Jimmy Dodd. Jimmy Dodd is a guy we went to camp with who was legend. I mean, Jimmy Dodd is a legend.
Yeah.
Walks over to our table, sits down and eats with us. Well, he doesn't order anything. And I kept saying, look, Jimmy, I'm not going to eat this. I can't eat all this. You know, here, at least eat this if you won't let us, you know, buy you something. And he was like, no, I've already eaten. I'm just, I saw y'all and I'm visiting and whatever. So anyway, finally, I kept saying, Jimmy, don't you want to buy this? Don't you want to buy this? And I said, because I can't take it with me. It's not going to sit. Well, long story short, at the end of the night, he said, hey, I said, yeah. He said, you really want me to take that, don't you? I said, I do. He said, all right, we need it to go. And then he packed it up. We took a picture and walked out and he put it in his motorcycle little thing and drove off into the sunset on his motorcycle.
With this little leftover bin. That's about the most Jimmy Dodd thing.
Jimmy Dodd.
Yes.
Okay, so.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it's just great. But then we got to James Taylor. And I use this example with a lot of people. Like Dolly, God bless her. I love her. I love Dolly Parton. Listen to her frequently. But you're starting to hear her age in her voice.
Yeah.
You know, you can just hear it. But I'm here to tell you, James Taylor is crisp. He sounds just like
you told me that on the phone and I was like, wow, that's really, cause you never know. I know he's been he continues to perform, you know, quite a lot.
Yeah.
But that was really good to hear, you know, I think he has the kind of voice that would age well though.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the way he sings, I think it would age kind of well.
And matter of fact, in the concert, they kind of did this video thing of him through the ages, you know.
Oh, cool.
And I actually like his voice better now. I didn't realize he was so twangy when he was young.
He was.
Mm-hmm. And now he's lost a lot of that little kind of twang. That
kind of mellowed, kind of smokied up a little.
Yeah, okay. Smokied up a little. That's a good word. So, okay. All right. It is. Now, this is during the big, you know, heat bubble that hit most of the United States. And it is an outside arena at the Orion in Huntsville, beautiful place. And they dug out, so it's kind of underground. I mean, it's not underground, but it's a big bowl in the ground where they dug out.
Mm-hmm.
So the acoustics are phenomenal. And I'm not really understanding how phenomenal the acoustics are. But here's the deal. It's 100 degrees outside. He comes out and he's got on like a polo shirt and this jacket over it.
Oh.
And you told me that
I almost died.
I know. I was hot for him. And so that didn't sound very good, but never mind. Anyway, he goes to take his jacket off. After a couple songs, he goes to just take his jacket off. And there are a bunch in the audience start going, you know, I mean, just, and I'm like.
And they're probably like in their mid 70s.
And I'm like, come on, guys. Okay. The man is 75 years old and he's taking his jacket off.
Right.
I mean, this is not a bow, chicka, wow, bow, chicka, bow moment. Bow. I mean, it's like he's taking his jacket off.
To each his own. You don't know.
He's not taking his shirt off.
I know, but to someone, maybe that was just enough. Okay, carry on.
Anyway, so then he comes up to the mic and he says, you know, something like, yeah, that's a great moment. Or, you know, I mean, some sort of something. And then he says, stick around, folks. Next, I'll take my teeth out. And there was this, you know, now, laughter.
That's funny. That's
it
funny.
Was a laughter. And then it got like this awkward silence, like everybody's sitting there going, wait, are his teeth real? You know, I mean.
Yeah. Like.
So I've got to tell you, I did what had to be done.
Oh, Joni. I know, Joni.
And I yelled, you still got it. To which that man turned and looked at me and he grinned and he said, shake it.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow, chicka, bow, bow. Oh, that is the greatest story.
I'm just going on record right now to say, I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. I am claiming for the rest of my life that James Taylor hit on me. And Ron said, you hit on him first. I said, I don't care. He reciprocated.
Yeah, I think that's right. I feel like that's right. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. You should be very proud.
It was just so classy. I mean, just shake.
You didn't tell him you were his number one Spotify fan?
I didn't. No.
Okay.
I told the people next to me.
That is so funny. I wish someone had a recording. That would have been great. But,
well, here's the thing. Not understanding the acoustics. I mean, I'm on the fourth row. This thing echoed through the entire... I mean, you know, 30,000 people heard me.
Yeah, they all heard it. They all heard it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You see, you made his day. That's hilarious. What was your favorite, what were a couple of your favorite songs that he did? I mean, you know, I know the ones you kind of like, but what really hit you?
Yeah, you know, so the classics, I mean, you know, Sweet Baby James and you've Got a Friend. I mean, all those are, you know, very classic things. But here's one moment. Is his son was on stage. His son Henry is in his little band and he started singing Shower the People You Love with Love, you know, and and he turns around and he looks at Henry as he's singing. Aww. Just, and it's just that moment, you know, between a father and a son. And I just thought that was precious.
That is
That's
sweet.
Actually not one of my favorite songs.
Right. But in that context, that's
but in
really
that,
cool.
It was just really, really great. But the one he didn't sing that I wanted him to sing was Walking Man.
Oh, interesting. But, yeah. He's got so many, like there, his discography is so huge. Yeah. Like he's got so many songs. So
yeah, he sang mostly his, you know, his classics and his best of, and he did throw in like, Copperline and, you know, some of his newer ones.
But, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, fantastic. If you can see him
bucket list
in concert. Yeah. Yeah. Go see him. It really was. I mean, just to say, you know, I saw James Taylor and I don't want to get morbid, but I mean, he is 75 years old.
Yeah. There's only a certain amount of times left. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not saying he's going to die, but I mean, to keep performing, y'all, that's, you know, so
I'm so impressed he was out there in that 100-degree. I mean, that, and then you've got lights on you and then I'm just like, I mean, he's not a jump around rock and roller, but it doesn't matter. It's hot. If you're doing anything, it's,
well, I know James Taylor talked to me.
He really did, Joni.
He really did.
You guys are friends now.
We are.
You're buds. So James, if you want to sponsor.
JT, you want to sponsor Designer
Or we could do an interview, you know, whatever. If you want to chit-chat, you know, talk about your favorite recipes your mama made.
And, JT, since you hit on me, just, you know, let us know. I'll give you my digits and we can, you know, bring you my phone.
Yeah, there's some free bacon in it for you. So
it's my number.
Yeah. Joni's, all I know is you called me from the car.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
You were giddy. You were on cloud nine, flying high. Ron was on some kind of uppers. I don't know what he was on, but he was flying. He was way out there.
Yeah.
You both were trying to tell me the story. Ron was so hyped up. And then next thing I know, he's like, okay, we got to stop. I got to get a Red Bull. And I was like, do not get
you
a Red
not.
Bull. Buddy. Well, then I'm going to get a Monster Drink. I'm like, you don't, I can hear your voice, dude. You are hyped up. You don't need anything. You're good. It was so funny. You guys had a great time. I think that's awesome.
It was fantastic. It really was. Just the whole night was fantastic. So, okay. So now, you know, I've been teaching safety and sanitation and thank God today was the test. And they're at the end of that. My culinary three is still teaching or is still taking ServSafe. But the firemen came, which is one of my favorite days. They came Friday And they teach the kids the fire extinguisher, how to use a fire extinguisher. They teach them, they bring out a big stove and they set a pan of grease on fire and show them what happens when you throw water on that.
I think that's so good because a visual like that is a humongous explosion. Good. Yeah. Yeah. They won't forget that.
Unforgettable. And so, no. So they did that. And then they come in and they show them, you know, what to do if the if there's a fire in the kitchen, in our culinary kitchen. Then we go back in and they talk about everything from emergency, you know, prep and fire safety, just general home fire safety and all that stuff. They're so good with them. But in their one of their videos, they show like there was a McDonald's somewhere that caught on fire. And the guy threw water on the big vat, you know, the big fryer thing.
Oh, no.
And, you know, of course, killed everybody in that vicinity. So they show this video. I mean, you don't see them. You just see the big fireball. And they tell him, they said, now everyone there died. So anyway, but then they came, when they showed this time, they came up and they said, hey, did you hear what one of your former students did? And they told me who it was. And I said, no, what happened? And they said, well, she was working at her little restaurant and the fryer caught on fire. And her manager grabbed like a gallon sized container of water and was about to throw on it. And she stopped him. She said, no, you can't do that. And she grabbed the fire extinguisher, put it out and then covered it. Just like
she like they showed her.
Yes, yes.
Wow, and that is unbelievable.
But they said, here's the reality of this, is that she probably saved 10 to 15 lives. And he's...
Including her own. I mean, including her own. You know, this is where not... That is not... Listen, let's not take anything away from that former student of you who paid attention and was working there. That is excellent. Because it is hard to keep your mind... You know, when a panic like that sometimes, but you know, kudos to her. I would say that any manager, if you're a manager at a restaurant and you don't understand, like,
that's exactly
I feel like
right.
That's the number one is you're doing a lot of safety. You're doing a lot of like, if you don't know not to pour water on a grease fire, I don't know that you should be
a manager
managing a restaurant. I don't know. Right. That's just my two cents. But
yeah, I mean, but
good for her.
You know, it's just, it's a little overwhelming, you know, to know that, that something that, and not me, but that the fireman, I mean, she learned this in class and she learned this and that right now there are 10 or 15 people walking around uninjured just from one lesson. And the fire department, I mean, going above and beyond because they don't, I mean, they can tell them, they could come and just tell, here's this fire safety. Don't throw water on the grease,
same.
You know,
no.
But to haul all that stuff in and bring it and actually do that.
Yep.
That visual is phenomenal. They go above and beyond. So kudos to our Savannah Fire Department.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they take time out of their day and it's a hot day and all that kind of stuff. And they go to schools and do all sorts of different things. But that is truly, I can tell you what, she used that and probably more than she's going to use her algebra. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
People are like,
seriously,
stop hating on the algebra.
I know. You know,
but I hate it.
It's this real life stuff that we get into. And that's why these CTE courses really are so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember one, this is a little, just slightly different topic with about the firemen though, because I remember one thing that I thought was not nearly as dramatic as your thing, but it was just really cool. When my kids were little, I don't know where, I think it was a pre-K field trip when Thatch was in pre-K and he was at a little school and we did a little field trip and went to the, you know, as you always do, you go to the little fire station nearby and they show you the truck and they go through all the things and it's so cool and everything. And I was a chaperone on that one. And one of the things I thought they did that just was very smart and I had never thought about it before was they just show the kids, they're sitting there, you know, and they have a guy, a fireman come out in his full gear.
Yeah. Yes.
With his mask on, his respirator, his tank, like you can't see him. And they were showing, you know, showing the kids like, hey, if you see this, you know, it can be kind of, because that's sort of scary. And right, I never thought about that because I'm so used to, as a grown-up, being like, oh, firemen, they look like this, firemen, you know. But to a little kid, sometimes they get scared and they run away, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Because this crazy alien guy with a thing on, so they showed it's him scary. And he opened his thing and this is what he breathes and go to him, you know, that's okay. And I was like, well, I didn't even think about that being a scary thing. Of course it would be. You're already scared because you're in a fire and then this, you know, comes at you and with big old gloved hands. And anyway, yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Now, so while we're talking, let's talk about fire safety for a minute. That's a, that's a good little topic here.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that they talk to my kids about is unplugging your cell phone. Don't just unplug your cell phone and leave it connected to the wall, but actually take the, you know, unplug it from the wall, because as long as it's plugged into the wall, you have electricity running through your connector. And
I'm really bad about that.
Anything.
I'm really, I'm very bad about that.
I am too. I try to be more conscious of it as I do that. And also, I don't know that, I mean, I don't do this, but I know a lot of teenagers do this. Don't sleep with your cell phone in the bed with you.
Tim Broyles?
Yeah.
Tim Broyles? Do you hear this? Would you like to hear this?
They said they have had so many, and a fire chief's daughter actually died, not here, but somewhere else. She had it plugged in and was listening to music or something.
Yep.
And had her cell phone under her pillow and caught on fire.
It gets hot. The battery, it all gets real hot. And then if there's any malfunction, and I we're all guilty to sometimes, but I'll tell you what, when my kids first got their phones and, you know, the year after, I would get on them and on and on them. I'm still on HUD. Yeah. I'm like, they choose not to listen. And this is a good word. And I mean, as a parent, it's tough. And I mean, my own husband does it. I have to take it out the bed. Yeah. Like, he'll just fall asleep and it's laying there. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves. Yeah. We have obviously real hard huge, things in our lives. Yeah.
Huge fire hazard is
take
a
it
huge
out of the bed. I don't like the cell phone. I don't like any, I just don't want that anyway. I'm just like, whatever. But yeah, so it is. And I'm going to commit to be better about unplugging. I'm going to try to do that. Oh, so bad.
And even in your car, when you've got the, you know, the little nipple plugged in, they've had car fires.
The what?
From that.
What's plugged in? The nipple? You called it a nipple.
A nipple.
Okay.
That's what the firemen call it.
Okay.
Well,
moving on. Next thing. Give us your next thing.
If your house catches on fire, do you have a meeting place for everybody in your house?
Not so much now, but because they're older and we're all kind of functioning. But as little kids, yes, we have, as all growing up, we do.
If there's a fire, you get to the bench across the street.
Yeah, that's we have a little circle in the street. Yeah. Go right there. Yep.
And they talk about their firemen who lose their lives all the time because they're searching. Like, you know, they're searching for people. Like this latest example, they had two firefighters that died because the parents said, our 16-year-old's still in there. And they go in. And two firefighters died. Well, the 16-year-old son is in the back of the yard, in the backyard, and he's just watching the house burn.
And he's out there.
And he's, So make sure you have a meeting place.
Yes. Especially with little ones, make sure they know where it is. And
right. All right. Do you sleep with your bedroom door closed?
No. Not sometimes, but not on the regular.
They said that will save more lives. Sleeping is the difference between life and death.
It's a few minutes of,
door is closed.
Well, it does a couple of things because it keeps the air.
If you can't get out, you know, I mean, if there's something, towel, sheets, bedspread, anything up under the door, because they showed a video where one door was open. And I mean, it was just black, like the fire started in the living room.
Yeah.
They knocked it out before it spread to anywhere else in the house. But one bedroom door was open and one was shut.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that was open, I mean, that whole place was black. I mean, just
because the air, it's going to go that the air is pulling it goes, to there. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good, that's a good point.
And the one that was shut, the bedspread was still white. I mean, stark white.
Wow.
You know, so, there was that, and just, you know, making sure talking with your family and having an escape plan. Like after they've been to my class so many times and you hear it so many times, I finally, you know, I didn't have ladders for upstairs.
Yeah, we do. But we got one now.
Yeah, I bought a couple of ladders. Yeah, I bought a couple of ladders so they could, you know, climb down.
Of course, Hudson goes the other day. We were just talking about it because it's in Avery's room because I don't know why we put it in there. I think because hers was the easier window or something. Anyway, it's in her closet. And we were up there talking just the other day about it. We're like, yep, there's the ladder. And he's like, what ladder? I'm like, you idiot. I'm like, I told you. I'm like, you're going to just die. He's like, I'll just jump out. I'm like, oh, God. There's a ladder. Put it over there. Open the window. Hook it on.
Yep.
Anyway, I felt great about that. It's like, well,
yeah,
just jump, I guess. I don't know.
They've even, and they're the ones that convinced me, you know, talking about emergency prep and stuff. They're the ones that convinced me to buy the 55-gallon water drum that I keep. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, you know, very
handy.
Handy. Mm-hmm. That's what you need the most. So
yeah,
I love when the firemen come. I end up changing a lot of things that I do because of them.
It's a good reminder every year for you to go, you know, and I love that the kids, you know, I need to do again, just being really familiar with the fire extinguisher and how to quickly do that. You know, that's important.
Well, you know, when I teach safety and sanitation and I tell the kids, I'm like, look, I don't want to be dramatic. I'm really not trying to be dramatic, but you can kill people if you don't do things right, because you have somebody with a compromised immune system and you give them food poisoning, they don't survive that very well. That's you can kill people.
Yeah.
And, but I just never really thought about, you know, I'm thinking food safety. I'm not even our sanitation.
Right.
You know, but to come in and go, oh, this fire stuff that we talk about, she saved 10 to 15 lives.
Yeah.
I mean, that just
significant
is mind blowing. That is significant.
Yeah. That, I mean, any life is significant, but to think that that could have happened that quickly, you know, and those families it's very significant. And when you're cooking in the kitchens, and especially if these, you know, a lot of these students might be going on to working in restaurants and having their own businesses and whatnot, that's just imperative for them to keep themselves safe and their employees safe. And like you said, the food prep stuff, I mean, there's always incidents you can't, you know, there's stuff that happens that is a little bit out of your control. So you're doing the best you can with the principles and practices. I remember the most stressful thing when I was a snack lady for Vacation Bible School for at our church one year, which a snack lady is the best job to have. I taught the class,
the best job at VBS.
I taught the little classes for years when my kids were doing, and that was fine. But then the year that I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. I'll help with snacks. Cause then you just hang out in the kitchen and it's work. I mean, it's not like you're not doing anything because you had to prep all the plates that go to each classroom, but they give you the list of the kids with the allergies. And I'm like, I gotta be real careful here. And there was kids that were like watermelon and soy. The ones that were allergic to soy, I felt, bless their hearts, that felt the worst because everything has soy in it. Every cracker, pretzel. I mean, anyway, that was a big responsibility to be snack lady and not kill anybody. I didn't. 2 years in a row, I didn't kill nobody.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks. Yeah. Doing
Let's see.
I can.
What else?
What else you got, girl?
I think that's it. That's between James Taylor and the fire explosion and Donna. That's all I got.
You guys,
it was a lot.
We have full lives. I will say just real quickly, I don't really have to be quick because we've got time. And we don't need to go into it too much. Cause I really didn't prep you for this and you and I can talk and think about it, but it's something we've talked about. We, going into this next season here on the podcast, Joni and I were talking a bunch, you know, over the summer and just kind of what direction and focus and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we had kind of come upon a couple of words, a couple of things that we, cause we're like, what do we talk about? And we're like, well, you know, we're in that season of empty nest. And, you know, all that that means, and that's a big part of where we are transitioning into in various levels and ways. and what that feels like and looks like. And we both kind of thought about, you know, we don't like the term emptiness because that sounds so depressing. Well, and like empty nest is such a, when you think about what a nest is for, like a bird, you know, the only purpose for a nest is to have babies in it, you know, and eggs and parent, you know, all that. So it kind of leaves you thinking like, well, if it's empty, then the net, you know, then you don't even need that nest anymore. And that is not true for humans. So we came up with a couple of terms that we're going to kind of expand on more over the next weeks and months. And the one, the first one was denesting. So we kind of thought, you know, not instead of an empty nest, you go through kind of what we call denesting a little bit. And then
as I'm up here looking around John Garrett's
you're
room,
still in the net. Yeah.
I'm thinking we need to denest.
Okay. Denesting and all. And I think we might talk about that next week or so. Maybe we'll hit one of those at a time and just kind of go through, give you a chance to, you know, kind of get thoughts and we can kind of expand on what is denesting? What does that mean? What does it look like? What are we talking about? And then the other term after kind of the denesting is the renesting. So we really were thinking about that and that those terms really were more accurate. The nest doesn't go away.
Right.
The home, the net, you know, the fam, the things, but it changes. And how does it change? It changes in a lot of ways in terms of the people, the activity, the purpose changes. So you denest to some and then these kind of overlap and then you're going to renest. You're going to kind of figure things out. So I just wanted to kind of tease that a little bit and we will, you know, definitely jump more into that and kind of expand on that and get y'all's thoughts. But yeah, we're not liking, we use the term empty nest because everyone knows what that means, but it's depressing and it's not, we don't like it. So take that.
We don't like it.
Put that in your pipe.
I did think of one other thing.
Yes,
that I
ma'am.
Didn't say. I have one other thing that I did. Sunday, we went to the cabin and went to the lake with Hino and Janie.
Oh, did you really?
We did, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Hino said our name, Designer Cornbread, was perfect.
Well, that is high praise
that
from
is
him.
High.
He's a storyteller and a writer.
Supreme storyteller. Yes.
So he knows a good name when he hears it.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So it's Hino approved.
It's Hino approved.
Hino Jr. approved. Okay. I like that very much. Well, that's
and
fun.
Janie gave us she has trouble sleeping. She said this. She said, I listened to y'all to go to sleep. I just started laughing. I was like, oh, okay.
Whatever you need to do, people.
And she said, no. She said, it calms me because it's y'all. You make me laugh. You bring me peace, even thinking about grandma and granddaddy and it just, so yeah, it was really sweet.
I understand that. Cause when I have trouble sleeping, I always listen to something that's just, it's usually kind of like true crime and murder stuff, but that's fine. It's comforting to me. It comforts me.
I go to sleep to Lore. I listen to Lore.
Yes. That's a great one.
Yeah. I fall asleep every time.
Yep, or books. Like I listen to a lot of audiobooks and I'll listen to Agatha Christie ones over and over because I'm familiar, but it's just sort of, I know.
Right.
So see, I totally understand that kind of, it's just a familiar, something comforting that makes you feel good. So there you go. You can fall asleep to us too if you just put us on. So, okay, well, let's go ahead and move on to your recipe. Are you ready?
My recipe, I am. So with Labor Day coming up and it's still kind of hot, still kind of warm, but I'm kind of leaning ready for fall. I'm there.
Yep.
But this is I've lost it. I made it last night. It is an Asian slaw.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, it's an Asian slaw. So I need angel hair slaw. Do you know what angel hair slaw is? It's just really thin, very thin cut. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to sit there and do my own slaw. So I went to Kroger, went to the grocery, and they didn't have angel hair. So in my picture, it's going to be thicker, but I prefer the angel hair for that. Okay. So you need your slaw, whether you make it or buy it, but you need to do it really thin, the angel hair. And you need 2 packs of ramen noodles, uncooked. Well, let me take that back. You're going to crush them up. Go ahead and throw away that whole MSG seasoning.
Chunk
the MSG packet. You just need the noodles. Crush them up. Mm-hmm. And you're going to saute them in butter. Just give them a little, heat to them, a little crunch there. And then you need 4 stalks of green onions sliced. And I used 1 cup of sunflower seeds. Now I did the roasted salted. You could also use like almonds if you wanted to, some sort of pecans probably, but I just did the sunflower seeds and it was really good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you mix all that together and then you're going to put a sauce over it. That is about 1/3 cup of rice vinegar, 1/3 cup of oil. I used olive oil. You could use avocado oil. I just don't know that I would use vegetable oil. Then you need 2 tablespoons of soy sauce and 2 tablespoons of honey. And that's it. And you mix all that together and pour it over there. And it is fantastic.
That is good. I've had salads like that and they are so good. Like when people bring that to the potluck or the whatever, it's like delicious.
Yeah.
You could grill a little chicken on the side, mm-hmm. put some a little salmon would be delicious on that. That sounds amazing.
Yep. It was good. Yep.
Good. Okay. It's my week for top three. Okay. This week, let's see. I've been real good about keeping notes about things that I like.
Oh,
so I've
good.
Got my whole, I'm doing much better with that. So it's less of a, because I do. We all like a lot of things, but this has been really fun because it helps us pay attention to it a little bit. So number one, I am really enjoying my favorite tea is jasmine tea, that and Earl Grey, but jasmine tea is my favorite. And we have a place here in town called the London Tea Merchant. It used to have they still have a tea room, but it's moved really far downtown. So it kind of bums me out because I used to go to it more and it was delightful. I'd take the kids and it's not like a tea room, like your granny's doilies. It's like a regular, like you'd find in London, kind of more just nice tea and nice scones and all that. But anyway, that's not the point of this. The jasmine tea, green tea. And then I make it in and I put it in my little blue calico China teapot, little individual, has like a couple cup, 2 or 3, and then the little matching cup and saucer. And I make my own little personal teapot of tea and I sit there and that is number one. And then I watch number two, which was, is a movie called Gosford Park. I don't know you, it's old. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's back. I don't know when it came out, a long time ago. Many years ago, and it takes place. So I had my tea and watched. This is the kind of movie and TV thing that I'm into right now. Like I need more of it, but there's not a ton of this style out there. So the Gosford Park, it's written by what's his name, Julian Fellowes, who wrote Downton Abbey.
Okay.
So it's very Downton Abbey-esque.
Okay.
Which
is it British? I mean, is it?
It is. Okay. It is. It's British. It takes place at this manor house on a hunting weekend and someone gets killed.
All right.
That's my favorite thing.
I do like
ever.
All the British stuff.
I do. And I like it when there's like a hunting weekend and the people come and someone's murdered. And that's exactly what this is. But it's got a great cast. It has, what's her name? Maggie Smith, whom we love and adore. It has Helen Mirren is in it. Some other, so it's got great acting. It's set in the 1930s. It's just everything that I want right now. So I did that with my tea and I just can't get enough. If y'all have recommendation, I've searched so many things of like, what to watch if you like Downton Abbey, or what to watch with, you know, Gosford Park and blah, blah, blah. And there's a few things. There was a remake of Upstairs, Downstairs that I watched too, but they only did two seasons. And anyway, I need more. Love it. And then the last thing is it's an Instagram account that I follow. It's two sisters and I don't remember their actual names. Sorry. But the account is called Food Dolls. And that sounds like it's weird, but it's not. And they're on Instagram and they're two sisters and they just do recipes and food, and everything they do looks great to me. Like I love how they show the things they're making, because they're not hard. Like yeah. They're just putting stuff in this pot, and it's very kind of Mediterranean inspired. I believe they're Egyptian heritage. So they had a lot of different things growing up in Egypt. So I believe that's where they're from. So a lot of it is kind of this Middle Eastern inspired, Mediterranean inspired, which is like chef's kiss. Yeah. I love it. And just the beauty, their things are just easy. Like they're not super tough, but they're full of flavor. One thing that I made this week, since I had to cook because people were coming home, I was like, oh, I got to cook something. They had a recipe for a cilantro lime chicken. And I mean, my people, the sauce you make for this, and it's so easy. This is where I'm like, oh, it just makes my heart so happy. The sauce is just, and I'll link, well, I'll give you, send you the link to put up when we do this, but it's like a bunch of parsley and a bunch. Now, if you don't like cilantro, you know, I can't help you because this has got a ton of cilantro.
I am in one of those, you know, there are cilantro, yeah. You have, it either tastes like soap.
Right.
Or you really like it.
Exactly. And you taste soap.
I taste
don't
soap.
You? Yeah, yes. Exactly. So if you don't like it, you don't, but my whole family, praise the Lord, loves it. So a bunch of parsley, bunch of cilantro, fresh jalapenos. So it's got kick. It's spicy. Jalapenos, lime juice, garlic, some red pepper, some cumin. Like it's those kind of flavors. And man, that flavor profile of lime mixed with garlic, mixed with jalapeno, mixed with cilantro. I'm like, I have to have it. So I made that. You just process it. You just food process it. And that's the sauce. And then you marinate the chicken again. I think, did I do chicken? I did chicken tenders because it recommended you do the little pieces. And I did that, marinated that overnight, and then served that with rice and tomatoes or something. But it now that literally already the family, the kids just call it mom's green stuff. They're like, yeah. Is there any more of that? Is there any more green mom's stuff? Green stuff? I'm like, I don't know I don't know how to take that. Mom's green stuff.
And that to me is the secret of cooking, of, you know, is just keeping it simple and having ingredients that you can find. Yes. I mean, the city's one thing, but small town America, we just don't have a huge, you know, selection. And so, but you can make really good food very simply.
You really can. And that's what you guys go follow them. The other recipe that I made last year several times during football season, just because it's a dip, but that we loved was a whipped feta with roasted tomatoes and chickpeas on top. So you can see how it's that Middle Eastern, everything has that Mediterranean, Middle Eastern flair. And I'm telling you what, that's like what Tim and I had like for our dinner, just watching football on Saturdays. Sometimes it's so easy. Again, you're just kind of whipping up feta, Greek yogurt, cream cheese, ricotta and garlic and honey. And then you roast the little cherry tomatoes and the chickpeas in the oven with olive oil and some Greek seasoning. Like it's truly not hard. I cannot express that enough. Mm-hmm. But then you just spread the little whip stuff out in your thing and pour the roasted tomatoes and chickpeas over that and get your pita chips, and it's delicious.
Go to town.
And you go to town and you turn on the football.
And speaking of football, the SEC is striking up this weekend. Mississippi State's playing Southeast Louisiana. Let's go.
They better win.
Well,
I don't know how this year is going to go. I'm not feeling great.
I don't know. You never know. Okay. You never know. So we'll see.
I know.
But I'm not tailgating this weekend.
It's too hot, honey.
Right. Well, my boys have said, we don't want to tailgate. We don't even want to go to the game. We're going to come home and we're going to watch it from the pool.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You said that because it's Labor Day weekend too. So they kind of get a little extra.
Yeah.
No, it's too hot. We can't be, as much as you love to do it, there's sometimes you just got to go. I don't even know about that.
So anyway,
that was my top three. Football does start up. We're ready. There's not really any great games this first week, but I kind of like to just get the first look.
It doesn't matter. It's football, you know.
It is. And I like to get the first look at I'm kind of like, let's see what Ole Miss is looking like. Let's see what this team, they're not playing any, the games are not particularly.
It's not the SEC. No. Yeah.
But it's a nice chance to start to get to know the players a little bit and kind of see, you know, see what they got a little bit.
Right.
So yeah, I'm excited. I think that's about all. I felt like there was something else I was going to tell you. Now I don't remember what it was. Something you were saying about cooking simply, but now I don't remember. So I guess it doesn't matter.
Menopause fog. You
guys, oh my gosh. I can't even.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well,
yeah.
That is a good conclusion, I guess, to episode 51.
It is. We're done. We're done with you all. We're done with each other. We're just done today. Okay. Gots to go. I got my caftan on.
And remember, hey, wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
When does the contest end?
I'm so dumb. I don't even remember to say stuff. Oh, no. When this comes out, it's over.
The 31st?
This will come out the 31st. We draw on the 31st.
That's already right. Okay.
But
okay.
I'm going to put more stuff on social media.
We'll post on social media. Yeah.
But yeah, by the time they hear this, we can't announce the winner on this episode because we're recording on Monday. So we will put it live but we'll put it out on social media on Thursday when this comes out, who the winner is, who's going to get the bacon and the makeup case thing. And it's just, you know, it's just amazing. It's a lot.
All right, corn dog.
Okay. We hope you guys have a great week and we will talk to you again. We'll have more exciting things to discuss as we move into the fall time. So y'all have a great week. Goodbye, cornbread.
See ya, corn dog. Y'all have a great Labor Day. So I got that somewhere.
You do. You never press any of them because you don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Nope. Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
There.
Now, what color is that one?
Green. It doesn't matter. I tried to memorize them all, and I did memorize them, and then it goes back to the next week, and I don't know.
And then...
this is where I am. This is where I am most of the time.
Last time on Designer Cornbread.
Last time.
Joni remembered something and then she forgot it.
And then I forgot.